The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Proudly sponsored by Volkswagen. Volkswagen.ie.
I love that track. That is Coldplay Christmas Lights. We were talking about Celebrity Get Me Out of Here. I loved Harry from the beginning. It was more his sense of humour. He did every awful trial. He didn't need to put himself through that. Well, he made me laugh so many times. I'm delighted that he won. Harry Redknapp proved the only way to success is to be genuine. What you see is what you get. Fair juice to him. I agree with you, Catherine, when you were talking about Emily. She went from being caked in makeup to none and was so beautiful in her natural look. She seemed to get a lot of connections. She seemed to get a lot out of the connections that she made, and she really did with the people that she hung out with in the jungle. And that was the thing, when it comes to television and you put a gang of people together for entertainment's sake, you kind of want them all to not get on with each other in order to make it more entertaining. But actually that gang of people all got on with each other, and it was just as entertaining. It was brilliant. Maeve says, Catherine, why don't you wear something comfy while you're cooking the dinner and change when you're ready to eat? I know, Maeve, and I've decided this year, because I have one of those AGA cookers, and that heats the whole house. And because you have to have that on and the fire lighting and the Christmas lights on, I think I'm just going to cook Christmas dinner in my negligee. That's what I'm going to do this. I'm just going to, you know, leave it all out there. And you are amongst family after all. All right. He has sold more than 30 million records worldwide. He is an actor, a singer, a songwriter who's performed alongside stars, including Celine Dion and Andrea Bocelli. He has been on TV, Ally McBeal, Glee and The Muppets, to name just a few. And this Sunday, he is coming to Dublin's Three Arena. Josh Groban, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon to you. I'm still wiping my tears from that Coldplay Christmas song. That was beautiful.
It's good, you know, and I've
never heard that one before.
And it's a nice one, because it's one of those that you sort of forget throughout the year. And they have so many big classics that I love to play. I'm a huge Coldplay fan, and that one is a good one. Are you a fan of theirs?
Got me in the spirit. Big fan. Yeah, such an amazing songwriter. He's such an inspiration to so many other songwriters. And so that got me in the spirit for our interview. So thanks for having me on.
Good. No bother at all. So are you excited coming back to Dublin? You're here this Sunday?
So excited to come back to Dublin. You know, it's been one of those things where through the course of my career, we started there. You know, in America, things happened very, very quickly for me. And in Dublin, it was just such a beautiful kind of organic, slow climb for me. And so, you know, almost 18 years now down the road to be playing the arena for the first time, and having over the last almost 20 years collaborated with so many friends and made so many friends in Ireland, to be there and to look out on wonderful crowd is going to be very special to us.
And so you've been here before, you have your friends. Like, will you get to have a Christmas pint, or will it be all work and no play?
No, you have to, because it's, you know, Guinness gives you strength.
It's
good for the voice. It's good for the vocal cords. Little social lubricant makes you a little more confident with the high notes too. So I found that if I get there and don't imbibe a little bit and enjoy everything, all the food and the drink that you have to offer, I'd be remiss.
And I know, and a little bird has told me you are a man who loves, you know, the bit of fun, the bit of crack, the bit of whiskey and sing-song in the pubs.
Oh, absolutely. And so, you know, I can't do too much of the sing-song whiskey time before the show, because I don't want to tire it out. I want to leave it all on stage for the concert. But after the show, there will be no question that we'll be going out. And one of the things that I noticed going out is that, you know, sometimes people say, like, oh, you go out and you'll hear some music in the bars. I'm thinking, really, truly, because in the bars in the U.S., like, people will play from a jukebox and, you know, you'll hear the same songs over and over again. But everybody really sings in bars in Dublin. It's part of the culture, and it's part of going out. There's live music. People will pull out, an alien pipe from their backpack and just start jamming. It's so inspiring. It's so wonderful.
And do you get dragged up to have a song if you're, you know, sitting in the pub, or like, do people recognize you? Have you ways of sort of blending into the crowd?
I can blend in pretty well. I don't think I've gotten to the point yet in Ireland where I think people know my name, and I think they know my voice to a certain degree. But I think that from a facial recognition standpoint, I can still blend in pretty easily, which I actually prefer, because I like to do the people watching, and I like to be able to just kind of meld into the spirit of the evening. I don't want to change it. So yeah, if somebody called me up to sing a song, I'd be happy to.
And I know, I mean, people know you from your voice, your music, and now you're doing a lot of acting stuff. You're doing a lot of stuff on Netflix. So has that opened you up to a different audience, I suppose, and, it, and you know, people recognize you, recognizing you as an actor as opposed to a singer.
Yeah, it has. It's the strangest thing. You spend so much time making music and singing, and you think you're known for that, and then, you know, you go into a Broadway play and suddenly you have Broadway fans that, that know you only from that, and then you go into a TV show and suddenly you have, you know, crime procedural TV fans that know you from that, and you know, they know you, then they find out later you do a bit of singing, and so they say, oh, good for you, I hope that works out for you. So you know, it's strange how people come to your universe, but to have had the opportunities to branch out and to do different things that I love, it's a very rare thing in this business to not be pigeonholed and to be able to you know, to do things that inspire you that aren't just in one rule book and one path. And so I'm very grateful.
Sure. So what can people expect at the concert on Sunday night? Like, what's the mix musically?
Well, it's been, you know, I wanted this tour to be unlike any other tour that I've done, and it's so great that we're able to play the arena, because the songs from the new album are very big. They've got a great energy to them, and so it's a combination of kind of imagining the new songs in a live place, which is really big and fills that space, and then reimagining and diving into some of the older songs as well. I don't often get to go to Dublin, so if I didn't sing some of the songs that my fans in Ireland have been supportive of my whole career, it'd be a wasted opportunity. And also because we're in Dublin, we'll throw in, you know, a couple songs that have inspired me that are particularly because of my time in Dublin and my time in Ireland and even writers that I've worked with in your country. So it'll be a very special show, very tailor-made for how excited we are to be there.
Brilliant. And I have to ask, will...
Full orchestra, full choir. I mean, the stage is just going to be packed to the rafters.
Amazing. Will You Raise Me Up feature, have to ask.
It's not only going to be there, but since it's a country of singing along, we're definitely going to have to ask for some help on that one as well.
What are your thoughts on it? Like, why has it resonated so much with so many people? It's a huge song here. Brian Kennedy has done it for us. Watching you do it with Aretha Franklin, I mean, that must have been a moment of moments.
That was truly, and I first heard Brian sing it in Dublin. I first heard him I was in the back of a taxi cab coming back late from a rehearsal I was having in Dublin, and I heard that song and I just thought, wow, what a lovely song. And then, you know, cut to 3 or 4 years later, I was in the studio and somebody said, hey, have you heard this song? This is really beautiful. And we just stopped what we were doing and decided to do a version, never knowing in any way, shape or form that would take off the way that it did. And so, when artists that I've worked with want to sing it, you know, when Aretha wanted to sing it with me, that was, I think, one of the great highlights of my life, just being in her dressing room and being able to blend voices with her. And you really realize how universal a song is when it can blend genres that way and bridge divides all over the world. It becomes a modern classic. I'm very thrilled to have been a small part of that story.
And what is it like walking into the dressing room, or Aretha Franklin walking into your dressing room and going, you're going to duet together? Oh. I mean, are you literally a bag of nerves?
A bag of nerves. You just have to fake confidence. You have to pretend you belong there. And just say to yourself, okay, this is a collaboration. Just, you know, take on the vibe of what she wants to do. And, you know, sometimes you can be disappointed when you meet your heroes. And I think one of the things when you know, we tragically lost her last year, that people have mentioned about her is just what a down to earth, you know, she was the queen on stage, and off stage she obviously commanded such a respect, and her mythology was just out of this world, but she was always eye to eye and toe to toe with every artist she worked with. She was interested in the collaboration. She was interested in learning every single day, and she was just a beautiful, beautiful soul to be around. And so to be in her dressing room, we were singing along to a CD on a boombox that she had in her dressing room, and her whole family was sitting in there, and you could just tell that there was warmth. You could tell that there was a lot of love. And the great thing about singing with Aretha Franklin is that once you're on stage, all the rehearsal just goes out the window. When her mic goes to her mouth, it's time to stop singing. you just put your microphone down and just listen. So no, I'll never forget it. And it was for Nelson Mandela's birthday concert, and so the song, the collaboration, the event, all of it just made it a night I'll never forget.
Mm. And I mean, when you look at your repertoire and who you've sang with and the biggest names in the music industry, your story about how you got into music music and how you got your big break. And I always love hearing this, or whenever I'm talking to somebody about, you know, making it big or trying to get your big break, I was like, Josh Groban's big break is it, because it just happened sort of so out of the blue for you, didn't it? Remind us.
It was very Star Is Born. I mean, it was very kind of, you know, pre-social media, just kind of, hey kid, I need you on stage. And it's kind of that, like, who, me? You know, I was basically plucked out of history class. I was in school. I was 17. I was a senior in high school. I had met, legendary producer David Foster a month prior. He'd had me sing at an event for him. And then I went home and I said, oh, it was fun. And he called me and he said, I'm at the Grammys. I've written a song called The Prayer for Celine Dion and Andrea Bocelli. Andrea can't make it. He's stuck at an airport. Hey, will you come by and sing it with Celine until he gets here? And I'm thinking, oh my God, well, you know, I first turned it down because I thought, well, I'm a baritone and he's a tenor, so I'm not the right guy for the job. I was thinking too pragmatically and not thinking this is your big break, stupid, you know, go do it. And he called me back and he said, I'm not asking you, I'm telling you, get your butt over here. I'll see you at 3:00. And so, you know, I was just, I mean, talk about a ball of nerves. Now I'm able to kind of be more confident with the nerves. But back then my hand was shaking and Celine took my hand. And, you know, that was my first time really singing in that, you know,
like 17 years of age.
At 17 years old, looking out on, you know, Madonna was sitting in the audience. Oh. Aerosmith was sitting out there. That was the night Ricky Martin became a superstar. You know, that was the year that he did that song and everybody went, oh my God, who's that guy? So it was, you know, that was 1999.
And do you go back to school the next day after that?
I did. Yeah. And I was intolerable. I mean, my head had swelled so large, but I didn't expect anything to come of it. I just wanted to do a really, really good job. And I was so happy that I was able to get through my nerves and sing with her. And Celine was so kind and knew that I was young. And like I said, just kind of took me under her wing that day. And, but then David said, you know, oh my God, that was so incredible. You know, we have this, you know, I want you to keep singing it. And so we would keep singing. I would keep singing it for different events. And eventually I recorded it on my first album. And then 10 years later, Andrea and I sang it together as a duet on the actual Grammys. And we did it as a tribute to Luciano Pavarotti after he passed away. And it was just a very special full circle moment. And now Andrea and I have our first recorded duet on my new album that I wrote for the two of us. So, you know, it's amazing how the universe works sometimes. And
when you
have the courage to just step through these doors that are unexpected, even if you think that, you know, the chances are you'll fail, you just dive in and give it a shot. Mm. Sometimes the best things happen. So I was very lucky.
That's what I was just talking about at the top of the show. Sometimes you need to just put yourself outside your comfort zone and just cross your fingers and see what happens.
And it's a lesson, especially as you get older and you get, I think, a little more set in your ways. I think it's strange that sometimes when we're younger and we don't have as much skill, we're actually braver because we haven't been hurt yet. And I think when we get older, even though we're better at what we do, we take less risks because we know what the pain feels like when we fail. Mm. And it's so important for me when I look back at that time in my life as a 37-year-old, 20 years later, to keep the spirit of that kid when I make decisions.
Mm. And can I ask you as well, I mean, 30 million records worldwide, singing with Celine and Andrea and Aretha Franklin. When you were a teenager, like getting into opera singing and opera music, it's not like the career choice of most teenagers,
no,
shall we say. Were you seen as like a little nerdy?
Yeah.
You know, was it hard to fit in?
Totally.
Until you come back to school and say, hey, I've just sang in front of Aerosmith.
Yeah, and then you brag and then they hate you for bragging. So, you know, you can't win. But, I mean, and I was little. I was a scrawny kid with a really big voice. And I was singing a little bit of opera, a little bit of classical, but mostly I was a theater kid. I was doing a lot of musical theater. I was interested in the big baritone musical theater roles. But, yeah, of course, I was a teenager in the 90s. So it was like I loved all of that other music. I listened to Pearl Jam and Nirvana and, you know, I loved grunge. But I had a voice that was very, very different from that. And when you're different, people don't understand you. And when they don't understand you, they tend to go negative as their first reaction. And so, yeah, I was picked on a ton. And so, like, when I do comedy now, I think about that time when I used comedy, like, as a shield. That was basically where I got my comedy chops, was being able to make the bullies laugh, and then they'd leave me alone. Mm. And so... You know, I think it's one of the reasons why I think it's so important we have arts education in schools, that it allows young people to kind of get out of their phones and to learn about the people around them, about the world around them, through through the arts and through singing. And it wasn't until I went to an arts program in school where I finally felt like, oh, these are my people. This is where I belong. And this is where I want to belong for the rest of my life. And so that was a pivotal change for me. But until that time, until 16, I had a really tough go of it.
Yeah, I can imagine. And when you listen to Bridges, actually, which is the new album that you mentioned, you're a co-writer on the album, there is a feeling of introspection in the in the songs, for sure.
There is. You know, whenever you write, you want it to be personal, you want it to be about your experiences, but you also want to make it about the soundtrack to other people's stories. And you want it to, if you write the right kind of song, then they aren't, the songs are personal, but they're also universal, that you realize that if you write from the heart and you write about your own experiences, that the human condition is such that everybody goes through a lot of the same things. So that was one of the reasons why I felt comfortable for the first time writing songs like River, which is about, you know, my battles with anxiety and depression. And it's also what makes writing the love songs and the happy songs that much more rewarding too, because you can celebrate with your audience. You can be there. It's one of the few things we have in this world now that connects people. So I love singing other songs. I love being an interpreter vocally and singing classics. But I really love writing and co-writing because it gives me a chance to present songs for me rather than just presenting them as a vocalist.
Mm. And like you're playing now on Sunday the 16th in Dublin, are you going on tour? How long are you on tour? Like coming into Christmas, does it get lonely being a solo artist and going from city to city? I always kind of, when I interview bands, they, you know, there's a camaraderie with four people or a four piece or a five piece. Is that tough?
It is. It's such a gift to travel the world and such a gift to greet audiences every night with your music. But I'd say one of the downsides is that it is very lonely. You're spending your time in a tour bus, in a hotel room, in a dressing room. And you have your band and you have your crew and you're surrounded by fans every night. Mm. But even so, it's you're living in an alternate universe. It's not the real world at all. And so you're always saying goodbye to people that you love. And that's I think the most challenging thing about the business. I love touring. I love singing songs live. It's why I make music, is to perform them live. But that's always tough. That's always tough. You got to bring back lots of gifts. You got to bring back lots of gifts. Lots of treats for my dog to get him to forgive me, because we were talking.
I know your dog, Sweeney.
I have my dog, Sweeney, and a Wheaton Terrier named Sweeney. Good Irish dog, Irish name. And terriers don't forget. You know, like a golden retriever, a lab, they will just greet you and love you the moment you come home. Terriers will greet you and then they'll go to the corner and give you stink eye for the next week. So for my little guy who's 14 and takes no guff from anybody anymore, I have to make sure I do all the right things to get back on his good side when I come back from tour. But he comes on tour with me sometimes.
Does he?
Yeah. In the States, he comes on the road. When I go international, he stays with my parents.
Yeah. I've got two dogs, they're nine. They're getting on in years.
Yeah. No, I mean 14. I mean he's way older than me in dog years. He's 92.
92.
Yeah, something like that.
They're funny though because they don't forget. I have a little 8-month-old girl, and the shift in the house has been sort of something that we're still working through because they were my babies, and you'd come home and now they've kind of gone down the pecking order, you know, and it's kind of a difficult one to manage sometimes.
There's that hierarchy. Absolutely. They know. They absolutely know.
Totally. As we talked briefly there about the acting as well, you're now the star of the new Netflix series, The Good Cop. So being able to dip in there, as you said, and go from music to acting, that must be, like, not many people do it as successfully as you're doing it.
Thank you. It's a different muscle, but it's, I think, some of the same instincts rhythmically. You still want to dive into a story and tell it honestly, whether you're singing it or speaking the lines. And comedy too, especially, is a rhythm. You want to find your rhythm that way too. But I'm very thankful for the acting training I had before I went into music, because getting back on that bike was a great experience, great learning experience, both on stage and on screen. I love it very much. So I hope to keep balancing the two. You know, it's something that I love doing equally as much, and I'm very grateful to have been able to be in a business that really tends to pigeonhole very easily. I've been able to break out of that.
good for you. John says, Josh is one of my favourite artists. One of my favourite songs of his is a version of Holy Night that he does. Oh, and indeed, She Moves Through the Fair.
Yeah.
There you go, an excellent version.
Absolutely. We'll have to do that one in Dublin.
Yeah, you've got a big fan there in John. So listen, great talking to you. I think that the show is going to be fantastic Sunday night in Dublin. I have to ask, are you currently bearded or not bearded?
I am a bearded fellow currently.
Okay.
I shaved it for the TV show and then I immediately grew it right back because it's nice to have a place to keep snacks and coin.
Well, it was a conversation around the office today going, does he have the beard? Does he not have the beard?
It'll be neatly trimmed. I'll be groomed, but yeah, the hairy face is back.
A pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you.
Have a great gig, Josh Groban. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Can't wait for Sunday. Thank you guys.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.